Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
We're going. We're just gonna run with it. We're just gonna roll here.
Hey, welcome back to Make Me a Musical. We missed last week because Andrew's a lazy piece of shit, but we're back at ya.
Oh boy, we're back.
Aren't you so happy to be here, Andrew?
Jess, you're punishing us with this topic.
Yes. So you read the title and it's like, oh, that's actually a really good idea. But here's the caveat. I have never seen an episode of The Office. And Andrew, why don't you say your history with The Office and what limited knowledge you have?
I'm pretty sure I've seen like 3 or 4 episodes all the way through. I don't know which ones they were, though, but they were definitely in it. And a very long time ago, I was at my aunt's house, and she had a DVD copy of the British version of The Office, and I'm pretty sure I watched some of that, but I can't remember any of that either.
Well,
so.
Hell yeah.
That's
and
about
this
it.
Isn't like a Better Than Thou. If you like The Office, that's fine. We're not trying to make fun of your stuff. But I think it would be funny to try to be the studio executives that are trying to make a musical out of The Office without watching a single episode of The Office. Now, I've seen the memes and I've seen a clip here or there, but I've never fully watched a single episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think the memes at this point have spanned every single singular frame of every episode of The Office. So I'm pretty sure if you've seen all the memes, you have seen every episode of The Office, but that might be speculation.
And I think by that, I think we're going to be able to turn this into a musical.
That's true. I know that we have to have the part where the chili falls in the ground, because I've heard that that is an incredibly funny moment.
I remember the part that where they pull the fire alarm and then trap them in there and everyone freaks out. That has to be a part.
Wait, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, obviously. There's also the Wayne Gretzky coat that also has Michael Scott's name under it. That has to be referenced.
Yeah, there's the picture of Michael Scott, like, becoming the manager, and, like, he looks like a goofball, and then he's, like, next to the professional-looking guy.
And then we also have to have look to camera. How do you replicate that on stage, Andrew? Look to audience?
That's actually... I honestly feel like you can't do look to audience because look to audience is already super common on stage. You have to do something else.
And bring in cameramen.
Yeah, I think actually what you want to do is have actual cameramen on stage representing the cameramen that are filming the documentary that I think is the framing device for The Office.
And, okay, so now we got to have like some kind of camera around somewhere. Where our TV screen, where we have that, so that we can have the look to camera. So it'll be like a live feed of the documentary above the stage.
Yes. I think, and you want to have parts where characters are pulled aside and they get blown up onto the screen. You know, like that's their individual moment, and then they look at the camera.
I agree. I'm liking this. Okay, so we have that, but we need to figure out a story. Do we just tell a random episode of The Office, or maybe
this is our messed up amalgamation of what we think the entire series is about.
Okay,
so I think we just wing it with what we think it happens.
So we have Michael Scott and he's gonna call everyone together for a meeting. That sounds like he's the boss, right?
Yeah, so this is the opening number to set up the world.
Yeah, and he's going into work because he's Michael Scott. And he's not, like, the lead character, but he is the point-of-view character. Kind of like Usnavi is not the lead character.
I want him to be... I want him to be more like a narrator slash secondary comedic character.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Jim is the lead. I think Jim is...
No,
Pam.
I'm going to argue Pam. Pam should be the lead. I do not know where she sits, but I'm going to argue for her to be the lead because I want a strong female character.
I mean, she can be for sure, but Jim has a lot of like gags that he does with Dwight that you have to incorporate.
Does he? So. Is that a thing?
Yeah, but Pam is Dwight's friend, I think. Pretty sure. So you can still tie it
in. So are Jim and Pam together? I remember that was like the moment that the show jumped the shark is when they got married.
Yeah, but what we need to do is we need to tell the story of them getting together.
No. Here's the pitch. Here's the rub that'll really piss people off.
Oh, God.
Like,
oh, God.
We'll make them divorced and that everyone has somehow come back to the office. And then...
Well, it does seem like no one really ever leaves.
Michael Scott left, and then the show kind of just kept on going somehow.
Yeah, that's, like, the only character that ever left, though.
Yeah. So, they're divorced, and then they have to return to the office because Michael Scott wants to get the band back. There we go, we got our plot. Reunion. And they would have divorced, and everyone hasn't seen each other for a while. And it's, like, a reunion documentary.
We're not gonna do, like, a... Is this, like, a Where Are They Now documentary?
That's what they frame it as, but then it just shows... It veers off.
That's the opening number.
That's kind of, like,
that's the opening
premise
number
for everyone joining in, so that we can kind of fuck around and have our own story.
Michael Scott is doing the introduction where he's introducing the cast to the camera crew in the opening number,
exactly.
And he's telling them, this is... We're doing a Where Are We Now... Because everyone really loved the documentary that came
and
out.
And the song is called Back to the Office.
That's perfect.
Perfect.
It's brilliant. It's honestly, it's fantastic. Where do we go from there?
So we find out that and Pam got divorced. It didn't work out. So it's really awkward. And Pam shows up and she just wants...
You do it. You got to do it with a funny gag where Michael Scott still thinks that they are together. And he's like, I set you guys up right next to each other in the office because I know that you're married.
Has to be much more awkward. He has to like dedicate to it. He's like, I know you guys are going to be like the happiest pair. I bet he's out there planning a prank. I bet you helped him with it. And then she's like, Michael, we split up. And it's just awkward because the office was awkward.
Michael gets pulled aside and he's like, well, geez, they should have said something. This is really awkward for me, honestly. And he looks right at the camera.
Don't they have Facebook or something where they could just tell you you're divorced?
I feel like I should have gotten a phone call or something.
Could have sent me an email, a text. This is better than an office episode, honestly.
But then the camera crew goes to Pam and it's like we sent him an email.
We sent everyone an email. Because you gotta immediately contradict what was just said in the last scene. That's how the office works. And then
we wrote an office joke.
We wrote their one joke. Then Dwight shows up and he's like, oh yeah, I remember going to your divorce party. He's like, there was a divorce party? What? I'm Steve Carell.
Divorce party?
Yeah, it's just where everyone gets to say goodbye to you guys as a couple.
Okay. The second song needs to be...
It needs to be Pam's I Want something... song. Because we're framing her as our main character here.
What does she want? Why did she even come back to this?
She came back because this is the last time she was happy. Where she kind of, it has to be like, you can't go home or something like that. Something about like how we all just wanted to go back to the salad days, but you never really can.
Okay, so it's about how she's hoping this will make her happy again.
Yeah, but she's kind of older, she's depressed, she's kind of worn out, and she just, like, it's nowhere near the Pam that we saw from the TV show that I assume is this bright, kind of cheerful character. I have no idea if she might
but actually,
not be.
I'm pretty sure in the TV show she wants to be an artist and does not want to work at the office.
Oh, maybe she tries like art and then she fails so horribly and is embarrassed and then she just wants to go back to the
office. I'm pretty sure that already happened
in
the
office. Oh, fuck. What can
we
do? It's like The Simpsons. What can we do?
Why don't we just do it anyways?
Why don't she is a successful artist and it's not fulfilling for her and she just kind of looks back into the time she was actually happy, but really she's confusing it with her being young and aspiring as opposed to like actually being happy. And she's changed,
you know,
and
what?
More jaded, more angry, more of an Aubrey Plaza type.
Yeah, and she really just needs to get Jim back in her life, and that's the real problem, obviously.
But the problem is Jim comes in with his new wife.
Oh no, and makes it super awkward.
Yes, and it should be someone. Like, it should be like character actor.
I feel like for The Office the musical, you could just name every song awkward. and like that's every song.
And his song, cuz he right after she has her like, oh, I'm so sad song, he's got the It's Jim song. And what he does is he makes a gag out of looking at the camera after every line of his song.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He also has to prank. He has to prank Dwight at the end of it.
The prank is that Dwight's like, oh yeah, you're just single and like living at large. And he's like, and the prank is the wife. Like he comes in acting like he's like single ladies man, but he's got a new wife and she's pregnant with a new. Oh, that's a big one. New pregnant wife.
This is gonna be incredibly awkward.
Yeah, that's The Office. Isn't that what The Office does?
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, I'm following the story you're laying out here so far. I'm not really sure where the fuck you go from here, though. I really want to incorporate the guy that works in the warehouse, because he was always my favorite character.
Who is he? I don't know. I've never seen an episode of The Office.
He, like, they have, like, a warehouse crew, and he, I think, is the manager back there, and he's always, like, funny, because he works in the warehouse and not in the office, so he doesn't like the people that work in the office.
Okay, so maybe Michael is
As someone who has worked in a warehouse, I get the feeling.
Maybe Michael's just trying to escape the awkward, because in his future, like, he's remembering, oh no, my entire life here at the office TM, was awkward every day. And now it's getting more awkward. And then he goes back to the warehouse and it's just like the same. Like he hasn't aged a day. Everyone else has changed so much, but he has literally the same, has not changed jobs, not changed positions. He's a 20th, what is it? The thing from the Century Man from, oh, what the fuck? How to Succeed.
21st Century Man?
That guy.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of like that. I've had the same job, don't have any complaints. And he's the antithesis of moving forward, which is what everyone else did. Everyone else eventually left the office, whereas he just stayed here. And it's the mirror of why you shouldn't be going back. You should always be moving forward. And that could be, it could be the reason why we learned the lessons.
Okay. So what happens?
Who does Ellie Kemper play in The Office?
I have no idea. Are you kidding me? So is Jim and Pam getting back together?
No,
in
they
our
do
story
not.
Here?
They do not. They rekindle and end on good ground, better ground than they started, but they don't get back together.
Can we just do like a fanfic and she ends up with Dwight?
I was gonna pitch she was gonna end up with Ellie Kemper's character.
I don't know who that is.
Erin, she popped up in season 5 apparently and lasted until the end.
Ellie Kemper?
Yeah.
I have no idea who this is.
You know what? Know what? Fuck it. I've got a better idea. You know what happens?
Sure.
Martin Freeman from the British office shows up and Pam ends up with him because he was the Jim equivalent in the UK office.
You know what? That's a good reference.
And it's like the twist ending where, yeah, Jim and Pam can't go back. And they kind of realize, like, we were never really meant to be. It was kind of forced on us. Like, it felt like we didn't really have a say in it. It felt like there was just pressure from the rest of the world and the rest of everyone else for us to kind of end up together. But it was never really our decision. And then Pam's, like, looking forward. And we find out that Jim and his new wife stay together for the rest of their lives. And Pam ends up with this new guy, who I don't remember who Martin Freeman's version is. Tim Canterbury, who is just Jim, but in the British version. Jim, you get it? Fucking kill me.
I get it. Okay, so what happens in the middle there? We have to have some drama where,
no, that's where you get all the funny gags and subplots and everything. Like, everyone else has their own...
I want there to be, like, the idea that she's gonna try to convince Jim to leave his new wife, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's
and
then
that doesn't happen.
She tries to scheme with Dwight, and he's like, that's the ultimate prank, that's the ultimate get back on Jim.
Is Dwight evil? I don't think he would do
I think
that.
He wants
his friends.
I've never seen an episode. I know that there's pranks.
I know. Do you think he would go that far to prank, like, ruin their relationship?
I think maybe he just ships him and Pam so hard.
What if he doesn't realize the full extent of the plan and he's just playing into the prank aspect of it, but he doesn't realize that he's
breaking up a marriage
actually? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's funny.
And then he can have like a moment where he's like, oh no, I didn't know I was doing that.
And then the final emotional catharsis scene is between Pam and Michael, who also learned a lesson very similar to Pam's, which is you can't ever come back. You gotta keep moving forward to new and great things. And the joke is Michael does do that. He stops working in an office and figures his own life out, whereas Pam doesn't, and she just returns to literally another gym.
Yeah, which is a better, it's a British gym, so it's better.
Yeah, and it's a much more dark ending that suits, you know, the British office a bit more, which is a bit more mean.
And then the actual true end of the show is Ricky Gervais comes out and stares directly at the audience.
What did you just watch? Oh, you just, I'm Ricky Gervais. I'm gonna say some edgy shit. Atheists have it worse than any Christian.
And then he stares straight into their hearts.
And then the show ends.
And the show ends.
And Back to the Office is our opening number. You Can't Go Back is Pam's I Want song. There should be the warehouse number where it's just like, you know what, stay in place.
I want, one of the episodes I've seen is Michael destroys the warehouse accidentally and the warehouse crew has to repair it and they're like really pissed off about it. So like, let's just make that a song.
What if the ending is like Dwight's plan to prank Michael or prank Jim has gone so out of hand that the entire office burns down? Like the literally,
I like that.
No way to go back.
I like that. I do like that. Yeah.
It's literally about burning the past. Burning down the
office. Isn't that what happens in Office Space?
Yeah, it is.
That's a good ending.
It's a great ending. All right. Anything else that we need to add?
What sort of? I don't think so. I think that most of this show is just going to be dumb jokes.
Yes. I think it's going to be like 90 minutes. It's going to be a one act, not like a full two act musical.
What kind of music style are we thinking?
I'm thinking you get the guy who did Mean Girls, who also did the score to The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Tina Fey's husband, and bring him in. Get that bouncy feel that could also have like a dark twinge to it.
I want the bouncy feel, and I'm also picturing like really simple pop ballads.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I actually don't think you need that many characters, like actors. You get like 5 or 6 to cover the main crew, and that'd be probably enough.
Yeah, and you can double. Do we bring in the real actors? I feel like you can only bring in the real actors.
I don't think any of them will be willing to do this, and I think most of them are trying to distance themselves from The Office at this point.
Oh, John Krasinski, he's directing a few horror movies. Good for him.
I mean, I don't think he wants to do The Office anymore.
My God, man, The Office makes your career. Can't you go back for one stage musical 8 times a week?
I mean, Steve Carell, I mean, he distanced himself from The Office before it stopped airing.
I mean, I don't blame him there. That was probably an exhausting job. But this is one show, you know, 1 8-times-a-week performance.
What?
You know, for probably that's 3 years of his life, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to say we're going to have to find people that look similar to them.
Lame.
So we find a bunch of white people.
You know what? What if we did like an all black production of The Office and that's just our additional bits?
I don't think you can do that because The Office itself is
about white
too
privilege,
white to begin with.
Really?
It's about being white. I'm just going to throw it out there. The Office
is the whitest show on the planet.
It's the whitest show that has ever existed.
I've never seen an episode of it, but I'm willing to bet you're right. I feel like we just wrote an episode of The Office right now without really knowing much about it.
Yeah, you got the... I mean, is there going to be... Do we even bother with a song about paper?
No.
Because I feel like they don't even mention that in the show ever.
No, The Office is just a location that gets all these weirdos together in one room.
Oh, God. You've made me think about The Office more than I wanted to in the last 20 minutes, so...
I don't make you do anything.
Why don't we figure out what we want to do for direction and any other elements of it?
I think they should make this like really dark, like every laugh is the awkward, like really embrace the dark awkward as opposed to the funny, goofy awkward.
That's just the British version. You just want to do the British version then.
Yes, but in America with the American people. And that'll pay off when we introduce Martin Freeman character.
Okay, so a more British-style, darker humor.
Yes.
And I don't think it will play well for American audiences, so is this like, are we doing this in England?
Nope, do it in America. We'll bait and switch them. Convince them, oh, this is just your office friends. We'll try to do it like Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, where, yeah, it's different actors, but it's totally the same universe.
So you want to spite Office fans with your version of The Office not being what they want it to be?
It's my Last Jedi interpretation of The Office. It's what they need, not particularly what they want.
That's one way to say the exact thing that I just said, but...
The Last Jedi was not made to spite Star Wars fans.
It depends who you ask.
You haven't even seen the movie.
No, and I never will.
It's like we've never seen The Office.
Okay.
What do you think Ben Brantley would say about this?
Oh, yeah, right. What would critics think? They would hate it.
I don't know. Absolutely, I think they'd appreciate the different direction, to be honest. They'd bring up, like,
honestly,
that part of it.
I'm thinking about this, and I think this is maybe the worst musical we've ever made.
Really?
How many have we done? We've done, like, 10 of them now.
This is
the
13th.
Worst one. This is the worst one.
Lucky number 13, my God, and this is the worst
one. I don't even think I would watch this.
Oh, I might watch it. If it's this dark, I'd watch it.
I think Office fans would be extremely turned off by it. They would not like it. I think critics of musicals wouldn't like it. And honestly, somehow I'm getting the feeling that the songs would also be bad. And I don't know why they would be, but I think they would.
What if we just, like, really knocked their socks off with the stagecraft?
That's the only thing I'm thinking of that could be good, because you could do, like, some cool stuff with, like, onstage cameras, which I don't think I've ever seen done.
And think about like, the jokes. The jokes would still be there. It would just also have, like, a darker, cynical edge to it.
Yeah.
If it's, like, really, really funny and all that, I think it could work. It would just have, like, a less than satisfying payoff. It's the ending that you didn't know you needed.
So, is this where we talk about the fact that there already is an Office the Musical?
There probably is. I think there's an Office parody musical.
Yes, there is. I think it's currently... Oh, it was on tour. It's closed now.
Is it because of COVID?
It is because of COVID.
Man.
I'm curious as to what they did.
They probably were like, oh, we love it. It's very Potter sequel, twisted style, probably. Where, yeah, we love the thing, but we could take the piss a little bit.
It looks like they pretty much are just doing, like, an episode.
Oh, that's lame. We're like, deconstructing The Office and its tropes, and they're doing an episode.
We should definitely cover this at some point.
Yeah, I think we will on the show proper. If we ever get, like, Ellie Kemper on the show, I'd force her to do that. And also address, like, you know, being in that slave... What was that thing that she was at? The debutante ball.
Wait, there's also a link here to The Office murder mystery parody.
Oh, fuck. That actually sounds fun. That premise alone I'm into. Why didn't we think of that?
This is very interesting. I'm glad I have no knowledge of this, though. But I'm excited for us to be forced to watch it.
Heck yeah. At some point. Request it for Patreon or something.
Don't say that.
Hey, if they're paying us, they can request whatever the fuck they want, Andrew. You know how money works.
Oh my God. So the people who made this, they also created Friends, the musical parody, Bayside, the Saved by the Bell musical.
I know that one.
Full House, the musical. Kardashians, the musical.
So they're doing their
Showgirls,
own version of Make Me a Musical.
The musical. John Bennett?
JonBenet Ramsey, the musical? Do you know who JonBenet Ramsey is?
Oh, they're working hard on The Passion of the Teletubbies.
Oh my... They're doing their own Make Me a Musical. They've done it, Andrew.
They've made it happen. These guys are...
They make their own musicals.
This is like a... They're like Star Kid or whatever, but...
Somehow I
specifically
think Star Kid has more love for what they do.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe these are all really well thought out and great stuff.
Not to be the negative Nelly, but I don't think so.
I mean, their producer has worked on some really good stuff. One Woman, Sex in the City... Family Feud Live Celebrity Edition.
That's fun. That's a fun premise.
Elvis and Me, An Evening with Priscilla Presley.
Nope. Gone One Step
yeah.
Too Far. Flew Too Close to the Sun.
All right. Do you have anything else to add here?
No,
I think I'm
done. That was The Office the Musical. We did it in less than 30 minutes. Andrew.
Yes.
What do you think of it? Do you think you would have liked it?
I've already been very clear. I think it's going to be very bad.
Yeah. But what do you guys think? Would you watch our version of The Office musical made by two guys that never really watched The Office?
No, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't. But maybe you'll watch next week's. Tune in next time for Make Me a Musical. Bum ba da dum bum ba dum.
Hey, The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.